What was going through your veins when you saw that? Hardly a dry eye in the room. I cannot wait to see some of my relatives again. I cannot wait to see those before me that stood faithful. And as a result, my generation got to hear the good news. I cannot wait as a young man, but now as an older man, to go back and say, thank you. It's you. Oh my gosh. All of that emotion. And it's available. It's available. And it's coming. Does anybody need good news this morning? Anybody need to push through something this morning? Don't look at that and just let the emotion roll off your back like an afternoon shower here in a very dry area. Let it soak. Let it mean something. Heaven is coming. The good news is it's available. You don't have to wait. Hope now. Believe now. It may be more than 10 years for some of you. In the last 9 months, I've lost an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, my closest of two brothers. And this week, packed away a home that my folks lived in for 45 years. And I spent the transitional period of 12 to age 21. Very impressionable years, going into the different closets, sifting through the memories, along with my other brother and my sister. Tough week. Fun, a lot of laughter, but a tough week. And a few things came back, you know, a shot of my grandmother's house and some ball gloves and things that used to sit in the side yard. My dog would chew half of them, but just the pickup games in the side yard, all the broken windows in the neighbors' houses from somebody actually hit the ball. And to you and to most, even on Craigslist, there's very little value in a few of these items on stage. To me, they're priceless. The hands in these gloves. I'm going to see them again. And I'm going to freak out like Jeffrey. I'm going to fall on my face and be like, Granny, holy cow. How you feeling right now? How you feeling? Let it go. Let the world's garbage go. The truth is it's available. Heaven is coming. And you can't stop this train. You can't stop it. Christ came in to bring good news. He came in to bring hope to the hopeless. He came in to say, where things look destitute, I have a plan. My Father is all about restoration and bringing back those things from the dead that the world just suppresses. There is hope. There is the reality of the good life. This is not the good life. There's glimpses of it. I had some great glimpses this week, but this is not the good life. It's coming. This is tough. And you need to get on board. Because this train's headed into what we would say, as all the songs say, glory land. There is something waiting that's way bigger. My hope is the fact that I'm just passing through this world. This is not my home, as the song says. There's people that need to hear that. Last week, we hit it out of the park. We talked about the Holy Spirit and what He's up to. There's still empty seats in here. There's more hope needed to get out into the town of Avalon. Let it reach into the coves. Take it with you. Get it down there to Two Harbors. Take it to Long Beach, of all places. There's hope. There's a lot of people here that are still skeptical. In fact, they don't look at it that way. They look at the earthly church and say, if that's a reflection of what's coming, I'm not interested. I've had a lot of things messed up when I attended. or I showed up, or I was judged, or I was looked at, or I was talked about in some kind of a gossip circle. The church has some crookedness to it. There's been a past to it. I don't really like it. And we say, we admit, the people at church are not perfect. There actually are some very messed up things because the church is made up of imperfect people. Amen? But it's the church. It's the bride of Christ. It technically is why we are here. We want something different. We want something better. We bring our imperfections to the cross. Yeah, there's things that need to be tweaked. And yeah, there's things in the body of Christ that need to look better. So where do we go? And what do we do? Do we just wallow in the things that are messed up? Do we keep critiquing, judge? And then the gossip forms and the seats get more and more empty. Or do we turn around and we allow God to begin a new thing in our life? A discipleship that goes off the chart of just about you. And it becomes a part of everyone else around you in your neighborhood. And evangelism spills out into your neighbor right next door. And your discipleship, literally working through your salvation, begins to come alive. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. And there's a dance in your step. And when you're in Vons, you don't avoid someone and go down a different aisle. You can't wait to run right smack into them with your cart. How are you? I want that. I found that. It's been a while. Acts shows us what it looks like. And we've been diving all over the place in this thing. The first church could not stand being apart, meeting together constantly, selling their possessions to give to each other, not just the poor, but to provide for each other's needs. Constantly meeting together, sharing together. Sounds good to me. Is it possible here in this town? Do you want that? Do I want that? It's written by a guy named Luke. Luke also wrote Luke right after Acts. It's almost seamless how it goes right into it. It's pretty much the second half. It's a wonderful story, but it's true, and it's very provocative. There's things that are needed. There is something that's of resolute, that's withstanding in your life if you just let this material come and go and make it head knowledge. You must come to grips with what Acts is showing us here. And so we have gone headstrong into it. Jesus dies on the cross. 3 days later, he's resurrected. He ascends, goes to heaven, and all of that is loaded. And Acts starts. It's like the beginning. It's like the beginning. Can you imagine what this place felt like when it started as a tent? And then as a small cottage-looking church? And then a balcony or something out front, a porch was constructed, eventually the steeple, and they hoisted that enormous bell up there. Just the joy of being together. And then the fire, the incredible fire that wiped out almost all of Avalon. To this day, speculation as to how it started, but no speculation as to how this building was saved. The actual building? Do you know that the people of this tent city came together with buckets of water and threw it on this building to protect this building, this house provided for worship? They couldn't stand to not be together. They couldn't stand to have this place burned down. Some of their homes burnt down. But they saved this place. What is that? What is that about? It's the early church. What do they do? How does it work? Why did they feel the way they felt? That's why we're looking at this. God's teaching them how to be a church, and as a result, there's something for us this morning. Amen? There's something for us every day you bump into the church. It's the body of Christ. It's outside these walls. But this is the celebration spot. This is the house of pep rally for Jesus. Now we can move the house. Fine. Some of us go to U.S. Bank on Monday nights, and others are in homes. Some, there's an incredible church down the street has a family living on top, and they worship down below. It's a house church called Singing Waters. There's our beautiful Catholic facility that has an incredible, beautiful place, museum-like, with some things that are there. There's places there. God wants to teach us. He wants to preserve the body of Christ. The buildings may go away. This train's not going to stop. The body of Christ will not stop. Amen. I can't wait to go to heaven. I can't wait to meet the original founder, the first pastor, and to see what God has done in my own family, some of the names I've heard in my own genealogy, and to meet Jesus, of course. We said that the church should be focused on Him, number one. Second, Avalon needs to connect with each other. Time to get out of our comfort zones. Third, we should be concerned for the lost. We're surrounded. I coach almost as much as I pastor. In fact, pastoring and coaching go hand in glove for me. There's a lot of lost in our youth, in our young people. The harbor right now is filled with gorgeous boats, beautiful boats right now. And they all have lost souls on board. They need direction. Today we're going to be talking about the church enduring through difficult times. We all have difficulty in our life, and we look at the Bible and the early church, these people who realized crazy stuff was going on. Boy, did I have it this week. During tough times, hard times, difficult things. But it was dealing with some major stuff in and of itself. Persecution. Persecution then looked almost like you see with ISIS and what they do today. Riots. People being thrown in jail just for being called a Christian. Plots for them to be killed. Some of them were stoned, huffed rocks at, thrown at. I mean, I can't think in my top 10 of worst ways to die, okay? You can imagine what you would like to, but I cannot imagine being thrown, rocks thrown at me, okay? Like eaten by rats, I'll take anything. But getting stoned, I cannot imagine something like that. And this was a very popular way to reduce or even get rid of the body of Christ. It's a bad way to go. Here's an example. Tons of scripture. You're not going to see this in your notes or on the screen. Feel free to write it down. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, generally 25. Some versions have a lot more spread out here. But 25 through 30 will tell you just a little window of a guy named Paul. And he says this, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Hello. Shipwreck, okay? Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. Okay? No bearings. I've traveled many weary miles, faced danger from flooded rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, the deserts, and on stormy seas. I've faced danger from men who claimed to be Christians. I was fooled. They were not. I've lived with weariness and pain, sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and gone without food. Often, I've shivered with cold without enough clothes to even keep me warm. Talk about dealing with hardships. Woo! That's like 401, my friends. We're barely in the 101 as far as persecution and hardships go. Guy talks from experience, major stuff. In my life as a believer, I have never been shipwrecked. I've definitely been adrift at sea and eventually, with someone's GPS, been relocated, and that's in a race, so they're looking that that could happen. I've never been shipwrecked at sea. I've never been adrift, so to speak, with the loss facing me and danger, such as those things that he mentioned. I've dealt with some hard stuff, though. I've never been flooded, though, in the middle of nowhere. Right now, there's people in Panama City, Florida. You know, everything they knew is gone. And there's people all across this world, cyclones included, Asia, where huge floods have come in, tsunamis included, torrential rains, right? Paul is saying, been there, done that. Talking about, though, concepts this morning of difficulty. Not necessarily these specific things, okay? And The reason I think this message is pertinent and real, not only in my life personally this week, where a lot of my journal and history of what Jesus did to me this week is in this message, but I think some of us in here, we may not feel shipwrecked or in danger of robbers, but there's some difficulty going on right now. And, you know, sometimes the weather doesn't help. Does it feel like fall to you? Kind of feels like we're back in August. Some of us love it warm, but others are ready for fall. Talked about that this morning to a couple people. I've seen some crazy stuff, though, in our lives that we have to deal with. I'm not going to mention anything from this pulpit. They are completely in confidentiality. But in this room are difficult things in situations of marriages, families, friendships turned upside down. Our school system is flooded with it. It happens in every single housing division and every flat street community that's here. And I'm not talking about the vacation rentals, but you might as well throw them in there. Difficult stuff. It hurts. It's a bummer. So I'm speaking to you about things we all deal with, the issue of pain. And this is the thing we learn how to deal with in our lives, because it's going to happen and we're going to have to deal with it. Paul's right there with us. Luke is talking to us as well. So what do we do? The question is, how do we involve God in the issue of pain? How do we involve Him? How do we involve Him in the process? How do we maintain our faith? How do we not give up? How do we stay on a train that's leaving the station and no matter what, we don't look back? How do we push through, maintain the passion for life and for living when tough times hit? Okay? I'd love for every night to be a Jazz Tracks night. I should be leaving my situations with a step in my toe and a samba to life that feels great, but there are days where I'm flat on my face and tears are flowing and I have a gut feeling where I just lost everything and I can't even breathe right. That kind of pain. It's beyond words. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at this verse, this chunk from Acts, kind of talking about this guy named Peter. Let me give you a quick brief background of what's happening so that when we jump into the scripture, you're going to know where we're headed. I needed this too. I needed to know where I'm headed with reading this week. God, what are you up to here? I got 1,000 things that I would really love to ask you right now and other stuff I'm reading. Why this? Where are we going? And I should have shut my big mouth, because that's not for me to know, but for me to just be obedient, just get on board. Wherever you're taking us, you're taking us. In fact, there's a lot of persecution going on once again, and now Peter's involved. Great. Now Peter's in. Wonderful. He's living in a time when Christians are being persecuted, crazy junk's going on. And who's in charge of this area called Palestine at the time? Nice name, King Agrippa. Herod Agrippa. I can't think of a scarier name than that. You know, we've got some Freddy Krueger costumes and other things that come out for Halloween. How about a King Herod Agrippa costume? That'd be great. This guy was a bad dude, okay? And unlike the other, you know, junky costumes that are just over whatever fakes that are out there, he really lived. This guy was a persecutor. He was a killer. And the worst part about it was he was doing it, for the most part, for entertainment. Jews, okay, hated more than anything who, my friends? Jesus, Christians, anyone that followed him. He'd kill them and do whatever he wanted. They loved him for it, okay? The Jews loved him for it. So he's keeping the majority of his people happy. And as a result, it was just like Gladiator, so to speak. It was just for entertainment. He kills this guy named James, who's a major player in the Bible. Hello, he's a big guy, actually good friends with Peter. Kills James, throws Peter in jail. And when we get into the story, Pete's in prison. The next day, he's up for judgment, which means the next day he's going to be killed. Okay? So that's the place we start. You know, that's where you start. Very difficult time. pretty difficult time for a guy named Peter. Look at it with me in your notes and have your pen ready. When Peter was in prison, Acts 12, 5 through 17, church prayed very earnestly for him. The night before, check this out, the night before he was placed on trial, he was asleep, chained between two soldiers, with others standing guard at the prison gate. Nice. Suddenly, bright light in the cell. An angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel tapped him on the side to awaken him. Quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, get dressed. Put on your sandals. And he did. Now put on your coat. Follow me, the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time, he thought he was dreaming. This is a vision, okay? He didn't realize it was really happening. They passed the first and then the second guard post, came to the iron gate. Are you tracking with me here? Are you with me in this story? Walking through this, okay? They get to the iron gate. It opens by itself. They pass through, start walking down the street. Then the angel suddenly leaves him. Peter finally realized what had happened. It's really true. He's talking to himself at this point, okay? You ever done that? I remember one time driving my car from work to my house, one time in Florida, and I don't even remember how I got there. You ever done that? Like, all of a sudden you're home, you've been thinking of a thousand other things, but you end up where you want. Never mind. Okay, happens to me all the time. Peter finally realized what happened. The Lord has sent his angel. Save me from Herod, from what the Jews are hoping to do to me. After a little thought, he took off, straight for the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Many gathered there for prayer, knocked on the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone. Peter's standing at the door. You're out of your mind, they said. Come on. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Peter's still knocking at the door. When they finally went out and opened the door, they were amazed. He motioned for them, hey, shh. He went inside, told them what happened, how the Lord had led him out of jail. Tell James and the other brothers what happened, he said. Then he went to another place on a mission. What we're going to do is take these verses and break them down. Little chunks. Look at the difficulty that he's suffering through and then kind of how he reacts and deals with it. First thing, verse 5 and 6. Dive in with me. Peter was in prison. Church prayed earnestly for him. The night before, he was supposed to be placed on trial to sleep, chained between two soldiers, while others were standing guard at the prison gate. The Bible is truth. We've got powerful stuff here. This caught me really. This is funny stuff, okay? I mean, this is wild. In the midst of this difficult stuff, there's some very interesting things in the detail that Luke puts in here. First of all, he's chained up. There's two guards on either side of him, okay? Catch that? And then earlier it says in Scripture, there are four squads of four soldiers outside guarding. Folks, that's 16 soldiers for Pete. 16 guarding him. I'm thinking, what does he look like? Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. What does he look like? 16 holding him down. Is he huge? Is he ripped? What are they afraid he's just going to start karate chopping and kick his way out? Pay attention to Scripture here. 16 soldiers. What are they afraid of? They've got him so locked up. This is wild. I just don't picture all the early church Christians coming in to break him out. I don't see that happening. But obviously, they're afraid of something here. 16. Second thing I noticed is the night before, he's probably going to be killed. He's in prison, waiting for the next day. What's he doing? Freaking out? Is that what he's doing? No, he's asleep. You know what I'd be doing? I'd be be freaking out, wondering which one of these guards is going to do it to me the next day. Which one's going to sign my death certificate, you know? Instead, he's sound asleep in the corner. Out. Verse 7 and 8, suddenly there's a bright light in the cell. Angel of the Lord stood before him. Angel tapped him on the side to wake him. Quick, get up. Chains fell off his wrist. Angel, don't get dressed. Put on your sandals. Okay? Bible doesn't say, but we can assume he has on some underwear here. But the important part is, how does Peter react to this? How does Peter react to this? He doesn't. He doesn't. So Andrew, in the midst of packing up a 45-year house where your lives have been spent, all the other lives are spent, Dad had a heart attack less than 2 weeks ago, Mom's barely moving with dementia and everything going on, how are you going to react to this? You going to freak out? You got a chance to see them alive, even. You got a chance to build something, inflate something here. You going to freak out with all that's going on? There's enough freak out already going on. Last thing I want to do is freak out. And I learned something from this scripture right here. You know what? He just does what he's told. All right. Put my sandals on? Oh, sure. Okay. Close? Yeah, no problem. Follow you? No problem. Let's go. No freak out. No panic. That's a big deal. Now, some of you guys are looking at me going, Hobbs, you know, go deeper with this. I'm just pointing out what Scripture says. Do you need to freak out? Is that going to do anything to improve the situation? No. Just follow God's lead. Be patient and see what He's pointing you in. Verse 10 and 11, put on your coat, follow me. So Peter left the cell, followed the angel. By all the time, he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was really happening. They passed the first and second guard posts, came to the iron gates of the street. It opened up all by itself for him. You ever had situations just open up? Just open up? Now, I'm going to tell you something here, okay? And I'm working through this right now, so I'm not entirely sure of this, but I think God was up to something this week. When I'm in my old house, the one that is being put in a U-Haul right now and parents being relocated from state of Florida to state of Tennessee, when I'm in that old house, I remember watching my dad watch me and everything else that I had going on around me. And as he became a little older, he became kind of like a guard dog. Everywhere I went in the house, there's a little something for him to say about. And then the kids are running around like crazy and, you know, just sort of wore on his patience a little bit. I'll say that to respect him and his dignity. But Dad was not entirely a big fan of kids just running everywhere. He got older, he, what's going on around here? I'll probably turn out the same way. Now, his heart attack was 2 weeks ago. And he improved. And then they put him into a rehab facility to help him get things acclimated, to prepare him for home. And guess when that week was that we've been packing up all these things at the house while he's been out of the house. And I sat back and I talked to my sister last night. I said, do you think Dad would have let us put all this stuff in a U-Haul and mess with all his stuff in the garage and do all this stuff if he'd have been around that week? And she laughed, and I did too, because, man, he would have been on us. Why are you touching that? What's good? You know, I just have to look at God and say, he's being cared for and situation's being cared for here. I don't know, but an iron gate opened for me. God, thank you for providing for Dad so that we could do what we needed to do this week and get it done. I have no other way of looking at it. I'll give it to him. I'm just going to follow your lead. I love that. I love that he's going through stuff like a James Bond situation, escaping from these guys. One set of guards, next set of guards, iron gate here. All of a sudden, the angel disappears, and he's like, what? He's all the way outside the city before he realizes it. The angel's with him, walks through it suddenly. He's like, this is real, man. And he starts playing it back in his head. This is crazy. Kind of thinks he's in a dream. You ever had a dream? You ever had a dream and been dreaming something that's not going well, or it's crazy, and it's a situation where you're like, this is, you're kind of moving a little bit in your dream, and all of a sudden in your dream, you realize it's a dream? I'm not talking about waking up, but in your dream, you realize it's a dream. Anybody go there? Or is that just weird me? Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. It's all right. Relax. You get a little excited there. Yes, I do that. It happens. You know, Shelly will be like, what's going on over there? You know, it happens to me. Weird stuff. And all of a sudden, sometimes I'll get up out of bed and be like, what's happening around me? So this is kind of like what I think Peter was doing here. Am I awake right now? This is crazy. Next thing I want to point out is this. After he realizes what has happened here, the first thing he does, he gives glory to God. Is that the first thing we usually do? Sorry, let me get back to it here. He stops. The next part is really funny to me when it comes to this whole situation. After a little thought, he went to the home of Mary, mother of John Mark. Many gathered for prayer. You're out of your mind, they said. All this stuff is happening here. Told everyone. Peter keeps on knocking. The story just is, it's a wild story. I love Rhoda. What a cool name. Okay, I thought it was a cool name. Peter comes to the door, escapes from prison, really fearing for life. If he gets caught, he's sunk. He's sitting there knocking on the door. I'm not going to say anything about Rhoda other than the fact that she was extremely excited. Maybe she left him at the door on purpose for fear that maybe there's guards behind him. I'll give her that. Or maybe she's just like, you know, runs over to, a little excited, but he's still knocking at the door the entire time. Scripture's so fun. Scripture's so wild. Rhoda, freaking out, but excited, but nervous. Is this, could this be? Pretty excited, because she ran away and left him there. Comes to the realization, everyone thinking it's a ghost. So finally, she talks them into it. You got to come to the door. My favorite verse, meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. They finally went out and opened the door. They were amazed. That's the end of our section that we're reading here. Tell James, I'm going over here. This section is just one example of the many in the Bible, the church going through difficult times and people struggling. You got books like Job. Job struggled through some crazy stuff. Section's not the only one. There are many sections of the Bible where people go through really tough stuff. This is just one. This is just one. And I paused in the message to write that in because you need to know that this, there's a lot to choose from. Like, good night. This guy had this going on. This lady had this happen. All these people. Good night. The entire nation of Israel. It's loaded with difficult stuff. All right? I just got one thing here. Plenty. But there are some of us in our lives and we think about it. Let me just say something. You may feel incarcerated right now because of a situation that has locked you up. And you feel like you're in a cell because this one ain't letting go. Your angel has not arrived, so to speak, and your heart is assaulted. No keys, no bright light. Maybe your future is not certain. Trapped. A friend or family, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a relationship, an addiction. Something that's trapped you and your heart is assaulted. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about that area of your life. We're going to talk about steps. We're going to get you through these difficult times that come right from this situation. And guess what? If I included all the other ones that I mentioned were in the Scripture, there are tons and tons. These are the same things that I found true. Why? Because Scripture is true. 100% accurate. And the same steps that are here work in each situation. Number one, surround yourself in prayer. These people were at a house praying. And this week was not a bad week. It was a rough week. There's a difference. Why? Because brothers and sisters that are very dear to me, and I'm talking about in Christ, in the body of Christ, were praying for me and told me so. What am I just going to blow that off? I could sleep in my cell, so to speak. I was on a mission this week. Thank you for surrounding in prayer. While Peter was in prison, the church prayed honestly, and they prayed earnestly. They did not turn around and forget that lost person or say, I'll pray for you. They did pray for them. They did. Do you? Do I? When we say, praying for you, are we? Does it mean something? It's so important that we pray. And that's the fill-in, by the way. Write that in. Some of you guys are like, you come to church, you hear a message on difficult times. Of course you're expecting a guy to stand up front and say, pray about it. Typical churchy answer. No. No, that is the answer. That may be expected. But that's where I go. And by the way, when our nation hits something huge, you just hear it all over the news all of a sudden. Our prayers are with you. Be in prayer for this family. People that have never mentioned prayer in their life are all of a sudden coming back to that foundation. When we're going through tough times, we need to go to God and pray. This doesn't change God, by the way. But He may reconsider things. I believe when we pray and talk to God and tell Him our heart's concern, that guess what? He could change His mind. He could change the way He acts and does things. He is sovereign. God is God. But pray. He loves our prayers. He wants to hear from you. And I think, more importantly, it gets our heart focused with His. Listen to me carefully before you say, well, I've done that, Hobbs, and a lot of good that got me. I'm in my 15th year. How about getting your heart focused with His? Have you thought about that? When we pray and talk to God, our hearts kind of come together and we understand more clearly what? The heart of God. Here's my heart. How about yours? How about yours? You go next. Who talks first?
I talk first.
How about you talk first? What's your heart? What is it you want? It kind of lets us step back out of the situation a little bit and mentally hand it over to God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Mentally hand it over to God. Does that sound good to you? Lighten that burden. Second point is this, just take comfort. Why? Because He's in control. Relax. He's in control. Peter showed us that. Snoozing one off in the jail. Look where he was found. I think when we pray about something, we get over to God, we can relax. We can say, hey, it's in your hands. Look at Scripture, a thing that stuck out, makes us realize that this relaxed peace was so important. Peter's in prison, sound asleep. Maybe he was so tired that he thought of death. It doesn't keep him up anymore, but I think more truthfully what it is that Peter knows something about God that we need to discover this morning. God is up to something. I can sleep because He's awake. Amen? Peter knows that he can trust God. He knows that God is in control. We have to realize God's in control. Don't freak out. Maybe we're not in danger of being put to death. Maybe. But there are situations in our lives when we feel like no one is in control. We feel like everything's out of control. It's the opposite of being in control. But we have to recognize and sit back and relax and say, hey, God, listen, You're the one. I release this to You. I am tired of running. And then eventually running on empty. It's a hard thing to do in the middle of a crisis. Really tough. Part of it is we want things to happen. We want to change ourselves. Men especially, there's this control thing that kicks in. Instead of just relaxing and letting go, we think stuff is out of control. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to pull it back. Control, it's the way we wired up to do stuff. Yesterday, in a locker room of a very large school with a very talented football team and all the things that could be fairly intimidating for a group of young men here from an environment such as Avalon versus the very well-protected environment that we saw there, and very expensive school. By the way, we kicked their butt. So I tell you that. We sat in the locker room, though. We don't have a locker room. They had a really nice one with air conditioning. So we prayed inside the locker room. And in our prayer, I remember saying these words: God, help us to do our best, and we'll leave the rest up to you. You do what you can do. Pray. Let go of control. Leave the rest up to God. Relax. Let God be in control of your heart and of your mind. This one is follow God's lead and listen. The fill-in is listen. Peter's in the prison. The angel wakes him up. Here's the plan. Listen. He just does what the angel tells him to do. Get up. Put your clothes on. Gets up. Go walk out. Okay, I'll walk out. Just follows. And our relationship with God should be the same way. You want me to do? Okay, I'll do this. What? All right, no problem. I'll do this. That's so important. We just do as God says. Practical peace for us. Practical peace for us right here, all of us guys. As a church, we always tell you, follow God and what He tells you to do. Here's the question. Here's the one. Here's the one that has more wild men entangled and snared than any other question. Women, maybe so. Here it is. Ready? How do I know what God's telling me to do? What's He sound like? What's the voice of God like walking with God, John? All good stuff. How does He talk to me? How do I hear from Him? How do I listen to God? Not your head if you're with me on this. Is that not the most... Okay, I want to do it, but what's it sound like? What's it look... I can tell you this. There's communication that happens in your relationship. It's not just you talking to God. There is communication. Why? He wants to talk to us. There's simple things that may be pushed aside. You need to receive. He just wants us. Sometimes our posture isn't there to receive anything. It's just a dumping grounds for my situation going on right now. And the spiritual awareness, it says, I know there's something deeper that He has for me. I've got to stop. I've got to slow down. When we do that, this listening to God thing kind of looks like this. We hear from His Holy Spirit. We talked about this last week. Holy Spirit's round. I spoke on this. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's speaking no more than just an impression in your heart. I'll ask God a question. Should I go to this? Should I go over town for this? I don't hear anything. Should I go over town for this week? Maybe it's the next question. Is this supposed to happen this week? Today? And I present the question again. I listen. I look for an impression in my heart. Is He speaking? Now, all of this is way after I have cleared the clutter and crap that the enemy is throwing at me to see what he can stick. You understand? You got to kick the foul spirits out. And in the name of Jesus, you have got to put the name of Jesus in place and boot the junk out of the way. Clear the channel. Amen? You got to do that first. But when the Spirit is there and you're asking questions, God speaks. Those impressions in your heart are real. Students looking to go back to school, possibly to college. Where do I take this job? Is this the right date for me? You know, God speaks. Is this marriage over? God speaks. How do I raise this child? He's out of control. God speaks. How do I pay my rent? I don't have a dime. The island's slowing down, for gosh sakes. God speaks. Where does this go with my family from here? I don't know. Ask God. Be patient. He's speaking. Listen to your heart. These things, they're not abstract. God puts an impression there. We hear from other believers as well. Someone saying, I have a word for you. That's why we hang out with other people. And we don't push them away and put that bubble of thickness away. And in between, God speaks through other believers. They look at our situation with eyes outside the fishbowl. And as they experience things with their heart, I'm not talking about a transferal of our crap. I'm talking about a transferal of what the Spirit's telling them. They transfer that to us. I'm hearing the Spirit of God say this to you, man. I'll take it. I don't have anything else going on right now. Have you heard anything on my behalf? You're my closest friend. Are you hearing anything? Take it to the friend. Take it to the believer. Don't run from God. Maybe this is what God's telling me to tell you. Here's what I feel like God is doing. Have you ever had someone look you in the eyes and say that? If not, you are missing out. This could be exactly what you prayed for. Somebody may have that answer from God. From His Word, from His Word, from His Word. I feel like the Bible's so overlooked today in our lives. Some kind of outdated document, kind of manual. Don't go there. Yes, it's a manual for living. I'm sticking with what I learned as a rat. I don't know what age and who said it, but somebody just told me it was a love letter. Ooh. That sounds good. You ever had a love letter? Ooh. It's a rough piece. It's a rough thing to read. But if somebody tells me it's a love letter, and guess what? I know who wins in the end. I'm going to read that. It's an important thing to change my life. I cannot stray from the significance, importance, and how pertinent the Word of God fits into these trials and difficulties that we're talking about. Pray. Ask friends to help us listen. Read the Word of God. First thing we want to do is toss the manual when things are broken. Or I buy some kind of electric. Man, years ago I remember buying a VCR and it just kept flashing 12 a.m., 12 a.m., 12 a.m. I just let it flash. Did anyone ever read the manual on how to change the time on a VCR? No. The kids don't even know what a VCR is anyway. Instructions. Don't chuck them. God speaks through the Word. And I encourage you, when you're struggling in times of difficulty, what does God's letter have to say to this situation in your life? This is where He came to me this week. And a song. An incredible song. Don't you love it when a song that you hear just hits you between the eyes? I'd never heard this band before in my life. They're called United Pursuit. Kind of like the name. And this guy named Brock Heumann presented a song on listening, and the posture of where I was changed immediately. In fact, I pulled off the road. It was hot, so it didn't change my conditions, but I got off the road I was on, and I hiked through a little wooded section that was kind of off the road. There's a little park there, and I just sat on a picnic table, and I jammed this in the car loud enough to where I could hear it from the picnic table. And I play it for you this morning, and I'm just going to ask you, put your phone down for a minute and be still for just a minute. In a respectful way, I just ask for you to take a moment here and see what this does for you, okay? This is really strong theology through song.
Are you listening? 'Cause I can feel you all around me now. Are you listening? 'Cause I need you to hold me now. You speak to the storm and the waves die down, and I was lost in the water. You speak to my heart when I breathe, I admit I need you now. Feel you all around me now. I'm listening and I need you to hold me now. You speak to the storm and the waves die down. And I was lost in the water. You speak to my heart when I breathe. My help come from? It comes from the one I love. I am lost without you. When I breathe, I admit that I need you. I lift my eyes up to the mountains above. Where does my help from? The one I love, I am lost without you. When I breathe, I admit that I need you now.
Rainstorm we had last weekend, how did that feel? Speak to us, Lord, right now. Our lives are dry. We love you. Calm the storms. Speak to the waves in our life. In Jesus' name. Mother Teresa was interviewed once. What does it look like when you pray to God? What do you say to God? Mother Teresa said, I don't say anything. I just listen. I think it's so key that we spend so much time in our prayers talking. We forget that listening piece. Fill your ears. Fill your soul with the good stuff. That one rocked my socks off. You've got yours. Whatever it sounds like, whatever it looks like, allow it to draw you to the throne. Literally, the posture of silence before God. No distractions, no matrix. What a great island to do it on. What a beautiful place to find God. He's here. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. I love this band. They begin things by pulling you into that posture. Praise, praise. The fill-in is praise. Thank you. There's tough stuff going on. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to make me stronger. Thank you. God, get me through this. I'm not going to make it. Catch my heart. Help me through this right now. We get caught up in that, but forget to give him glory and honor. Stop and praise the one who gave it. Get back to church. Stack hands with other believers. Fill in his connect. I don't spend a lot of time on this. That's what I'm all about. Small groups is all about this church. We break from the large body of Christ here, but we just keep church going. Monday through Friday, I don't even know how many small groups there are. They're all over the place, and they're still popping up. Connect with other believers. Don't be afraid to unload the things of that you can trust in another person's heart, because that relationship is strong, and you know they're going to take it to the throne of Christ on your behalf. Definitely be cautious, but take risks. Look for that person. Pray for that person. Acknowledge that person. Don't bounce them off. Don't push them away. That's the first thing that we love to do in difficulty, is to run from the body of Christ. Stack hands. When we're in difficult and tough times, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, it's because we made some decisions.
We've screwed up. Instead of dealing with the correct way, we're now dealing with the consequences of those decisions. That totally stinks. And we think, if I go to church instead of helping me out, someone's just going to judge me. Or all of a sudden they know why I'm back in church. Good night. Just burn that stuff. Send it to the pit where it came from, right? We are all here because we need the same Savior. And if you're not here for a week or two, we trust you got things that are going on and you're finding a day of rest somewhere to spend with Him. This isn't about judging someone or gossiping about someone. This is the body of Christ. This place, this body of believers, a collection of people who can't do it on their own, is worthy of your attendance. Why? Because you bring something. Your story matters. And hands stack on each other. And the enemy doesn't stand a chance because it's strong. It's a train. And you can't stop it. Like the Lancers yesterday. You just can't stop it. I love our teams. Our coaches love our players. When they're in that mode, oh man, I feel bad for the competition. Heart, togetherness, brotherhood, and sisterhood. This is the place where we go to say, I failed and I messed up. It's all good. God is good. He's going to take our failures and somewhere it's going to fit in the tapestry of our life. There's no junk, no waste in God's economy. None. Our band can come up, the band that helps lead worship as lead worshipers. I think this is one of the most practical ways, sharing with others. One of the most practical ways, especially our believers who can pray for us, helping us through it. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening this morning. You got a lot of choices. You got a lot of things you could do on Sunday. Some of you are on vacation, you're here. And this is the way you spend your last day. Thank you for coming this morning. Let me share with you these thoughts. This stuff is from the Word of God, not from Andrew. This is what God has to say this morning. And I pray, more importantly, for you to take the time to look at this stuff seriously through your difficult situation, whatever it may, and let God encourage you. Let this thing begin to change in you. I encourage you, hang on to these scriptures in your hands. Hang on to these things. Look up some of the songs you hear that the band's playing, or take them home, take them further. Let me give you one last thought. Everyone goes through tough stuff. You can't escape it, but you can endure because God's preparing you for the escape. He has a way out. Father, this morning we come back to you again. As a matter of fact, we don't want to leave you. Just keep checking in with our dad. The one that says, I love you. The Heavenly Father says, I have reconciled you to me through my Son. The one that reminds us, I've got a good place and I'm hooking you up. You want to see that person again? They're waiting for you. It may have been years, but they're there. And there is going to be a celebration because hope through difficult times is real. Hope is real. And this train's leaving the station. I want to follow God. I want to be like Peter. I am leaving the cell. I don't care what the world has said, and I don't care what my condemnation feels like, looks like, or even speaks like into my ear. I am following the Lord. What He says to do next. And I'm on the run. God is with me. If that is you, I encourage you to not stop. And if it's not, and this morning this stuff has brought conviction to you with comfort, I warn you that that is not from me. That is from the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to it. Do something with it. Follow Jesus. Give Him your heart today and begin something where you're not alone in your cell. You're not incarcerated. This train is leaving the station. You belong on this train. Your chains have been set free. You're invited simply because this is being offered. It's all available.
And the invitation stands. Thank you for your word this morning, Father. In Jesus' name.